Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
I always get a little bit nervous when I think of government reach. We know that there's been this talk about registering CCTV cameras in your homes. That's in Johannesburg. I don't know what's going to happen with that. Probably nothing. But either way, it's an attempt to control information. We see that there is an attempt to control private security, and now we're hearing all sorts of things around podcast regulation. How does this work? How do they even manage that, and what does all of this mean, specifically with regard to podcast regulations? William Bird is joining us. He's the Director of Media Monitoring Africa. William, good morning. Thank you for joining. How are you?
Morning, Aaron. I'm well, thanks, and you?
I am good, thank you. What is this proposed regulation, and where does this all come from?
I mean, there have been mumblings and murmurings about this kind of thing for a little while now, but it's recently been heightened and, of course, excited on social media because of some particularly offensive comments made in some podcasts, on some of them on the MacG podcast. And what it's done is it's highlighted the fact that if you're an ordinary listener, there are very few kind of avenues of recourse if you want to object or complain about something. So I think that there's a legitimate concern to say, if, for example, people aren't happy about Hi FM, there's the BCCSA, and there's legitimate avenues for recourse, whereas with podcasts, they aren't. And so they've now said, well, we need to regulate them. The problem is, of course, is that podcasts just exist on the internet. In fact, there's no real distinction between them and the internet. You can go to some of the big podcast providers and the homes that sort of house them as streaming, but then when they exist on their own website, for example, and they're not on an iTunes or Google Play Store, any of those normal places where you get your podcasts, then it becomes a real problem. So I can't see these regulations having any real effect. I think a far better solution to this would be to encourage podcasters to sign up to self-regulatory or co-regulatory bodies that adhere to good high standards, and then allow people to use those as mechanisms to address concerns and complaints that they have.
Surely by, you know, if you want your podcast to be heard, you've either gone, as you've said, use iTunes, use Spotify, hosted, YouTube. You're going to go to one of the larger platforms because it gives you a certain amount of credibility. More people can find you. Surely that would be the place. The same as the BCCSA, for example, really is around the fact that we need a broadcast license. We need space on the FM system. So effectively, that's what it's doing. Surely that is the best place to manage it.
It is. I think one of the reasons this is kind of coming emerging again as a problem is that we've seen several walkbacks by the various platforms on enforcement of their own guidelines. And so that's really allowed for a lot of content that previously may have been addressed to not have been addressed. But people also need to learn to object and complain to the kind of platforms, and they need to make their complaints procedures a lot more effective and a lot more useful and user-friendly. At the moment, if you have a complaint about a podcast, if it's about hate speech or if it's something like that, an egregious rights violation, then you can report it to the South African Human Rights Commission or the Commission on Gender Equality because of that particular one. But you know, these are systems that are not designed to be very fast and very speedy, so we do need, I think, probably a better mechanism to deal with these things. I'm not sure quite what that looks like, but when you talk about governments regulating these things, that's when there's going to likely be a problem, because I don't think that they will be able to.
The other problem with it, or the other concern, is the more controversial and the more outlandish it is, the more ridiculous in some ways the statements are, and hyperbolic, the more we talk about them, the more popular they become. It actually feeds them.
Well, exactly. One of the most problematic elements of social media leaving podcasts is that it feeds off and rewards and incentivizes controversial and usually things that are deeply and often problematic. So it's things that make people feel fearful. So that's a model that I think a lot of people are trying to follow in order to, you know, build success and bring audiences. So we do need to be looking at some structural changes to see how you can reward and incentivize content that's just really good or really interesting without it being necessarily content that's just patently ridiculous or offensive or misogynistic.
So how would they, you know, we've seen quite a disturbing reach into people's views and thoughts in the United Kingdom, particularly I can't imagine that is going to move in the right direction. It's you know, because you've got a certain political outlook dominating how people speak. That becomes very, very dangerous in the long run for freedom of speech, whether you agree with it or that particular viewpoint or not. How do we stop that from becoming a problem here, especially in South Africa, where we don't have a high level of trust in government or our regulators?
So we don't, but we do have an excellent constitution and we do have a higher threshold for freedom of expression. So you know, and it is important to advance a society that you allow people to express views that are outrageous, often offensive even, and that make them deeply uncomfortable, for example, and particularly if you don't agree with them. These are important things for people to be able to express, whether we like them or not. So those are principles that we will protect and will, and certainly our courts have shown that they will actively protect those particular limits. So that's why I think any kind of attempt by government to do this is going to be met with fierce resistance and I think a lot of constitutional challenges. It's going to be a much better route to look at engaging with the platforms themselves and seeing the extent to which they abide by and enforce their own commitments. When you run into a problem is where those platforms are basically absent. If you look at X as an excellent example, where you know they operate in South Africa, and yet they operate with no form of accountability, no form of recourse whatsoever. If you can imagine any other manufacturer of delivering any other product where they offer no guarantees, no services beyond the actual product, you know, that would really be a problem. And so you need to be saying, if you're going to offer this and you're going to allow these things, what are your limits? And those things must be well publicized so people know what crosses the line and what doesn't.
So where is this at the moment? Where is this? Is there a proposed regulation? Is it just rumblings and mumblings? Or is this further along?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if someone hasn't been tasked with doing some kind of a draft for it, but there's no ways that anything like this is going to happen in the immediate future. So it's not something anyone needs to be too concerned about. But I think that we should be looking at saying, well, how should we try and solve these problems and give people a form of expressing their disagreement and lodging complaints, because that's a legitimate part of democratic action.
William Bird, thank you, as always, Director of Media Monitoring Africa, talking about podcast regulations, potential podcast regulations in South Africa.